Recording has started.
I think we just started recording. I just wanted to welcome everybody. Thanks for joining the call. I know it's tough. It's the end of the summer, and everybody, I'm sure, wants to take vacations or do things outside to take advantage of the nice weather while it's, you know, still here with us. But I want to thank you for joining us. I do want to ask everyone to remain keep their questions until the end of each section, and until they're invited to ask questions. And that's about it. I think I'm going to give it away to Allie now.
Well, great. Well, it's good to be here, you guys, and great to thanks for tuning in. And I think it's becoming a really, really great thing for APS as far as the consultant was an online phone call. We have also a pre-recorded phone call, I think. I don't know if it's up yet, but that was one of my staff meetings that I think you guys will like. And not so much that anything that we do you might use, but just an idea of what we actually do in our staff meetings and how I look for my stats and how I deal with each individual school owner and so on. So please talk to Joanne about that, and we'll try to get you the information on whether how you could tune in or just go to Spiderphone or whatever. And anyway, I'm here upstate New York right now in Fishkill, New York. I'm actually at a water park. I'm calling you from my cell phone sitting outside in my car, and I have 20 kids and 7 adults here, and this is my last hurrah before the summer. We do a sleepaway camp at a ranch I have upstate, and we have about student members at about $300, $1,000 4-day weekend for me. I just wanted to tell you that's why I can't be on the call this whole entire time, because I got to watch over the kids and some of the adults that are here. So I'm going to also have this call being taken over by Ms.
Allie. I think we just lost him for a second there. I'm not sure if he's still there, Allie.
I'm still here. You got me?
Yeah, you cut out for a second there.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, that's what happens with someone. I told you, I moved the car parking lot spot over. Can you hear me again?
Yeah, you're cutting in a little bit in and out, but that's okay.
Okay, please bear with me, and I apologize for the bad reception, but I'm going to turn it over to Frank in a second. So Frank is my student. He's been with me for 15 years, training for a total of 25 years in the martial arts. He runs my top school under my headquarters. That's in East Islip with over 330 students in it. And he's going to be going over ideas on marketing and be able to questions you have, and he's going to give you a rundown of what we do to get our schools up and running and really get a good amount of prospects and leads and new students in our new year. Yeah. And some of the topics. Am I giving it good? Hear me good, everybody?
You faded out a little bit.
Okay. How about, so Frank, you're going to take over and you're going to go over some of the topics of advertising and marketing, the promotion referral sheets that we use.
Yes, sir.
Grades, the grades equals gift program, setting the bar for parents and VIP passes in the school, special person days, assemblies, and buddy days.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
So, guys, please bear with me on this. Sorry that I'm not with you today for the conference call, but Frank will do a dynamic time, and he's going to give you all the information on it. So, everybody out there, you guys have a great time. I'm sorry that I can't be with you, but Frank's going to take over.
No
Joanne,
problem.
I'll call you again. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Allie.
Thank you,
Reggie.
Bye-bye.
I'll call you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Again, it's a pleasure for me to be here, an honor. When Reggie asked me to do this, the first reaction is always a little bit nervous, but I just think it's basically what he's taught me, what we do and what we practice, and I'll do the best job I can answering the questions you guys have and to the best of my ability, and hopefully together we can get through this conference call. One of the things he did talk to me about, I guess the topic is back to school, and one of the things we do, I guess on a marketing level, is the ad we run. We run like a 2-for-1 special, 2-for-1 for like $99 or whatever amount is appropriate to your area. And we also run a 3-month, join 3 months, get 1 month free, which basically do it all year round, but we basically cater it to back-to-school specials, on the top of the advertisement. Has anybody done that or had any luck with that?
Yes, we've done it. We've given away 1 free month and then have them sign up for 4 months, and that's worked really well to get them in the door.
Exactly.
And we've also given the uniform.
Oh, very good. And that's with the specials, a free uniform?
Yes. So it's been a free uniform and tuition waived for the first month with sign-up. And then we've charged also a small registration fee $38, which basically covers the cost of the uniform, but we waive the tuition for the first month, and that's worked really well.
Good. So that covers the cost of...
Covers our cost, yeah.
Exactly. And then it's a potential new student, you know, for the long run.
Right.
Is everybody able to talk?
Yes.
I'm sorry, did you want to share something?
Well, yeah, this is Doug Welsh, American Tiger Party. What I've been doing for my ad is first month free with purchase of the uniform. And that's been working pretty good.
Very good. You know, there's a lot of, I found, from just experience from what Reggie Alley has done throughout our history in running ads in the paper, I mean, the specials, basically, you could run any special, whether it's a free uniform or it's a free month, you know, something to get the people through the door. Once they're in the door, then it's the job of the instructor who's teaching the class and also the follow-up on the student as far as 2-4-6-week calls, to keep them excited and keep them in. I mean, get them to the door, there's many strategies to do that. But once they're in, the key is to keep them in, you know, through different things that we do. Another thing Rachel had talked about is back to school free pass. Sorry about that. My cell phone started to ring.
That's all right. It was Mozart.
Yeah, right? I gotta turn that off. Okay. I'm sorry. We have a back-to-school free pass where what Renshi's going to do is, as far as the kids who are our students, depending on the grades they start getting, and we'll do it like first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and so on, if the kids are shooting like an 87% and up or maybe a B average, they're going to win a free pass to give to their friends for a free month. And on top of that, as a bonus to the child, we're going to give them 10 points. And we'll use 10 points as, basically so they can win prizes. You know, the more points they get, the bigger prize they can get. And we'll do it maybe one of our events where we have a movie night or a sleepover or some of the events that we do that they could use those points for that event. So they're winning something. Plus, there's an opportunity for another child to take advantage of the program that we have as well. And the kids feel good because they're actually winning something to give to their friends. Has anybody done that?
No, not yet.
No idea.
Well, it's something. I mean, actually, Renshi just gave that to me now, and we're going to incorporate it. So I think it's a great idea. And it just kind of boosts the kids who are working hard in class, who want to share something with their friend. At the same time, they're getting rewarded for it, so they're going to feel good about it. And the reward is there as well. But that's something that, you know, you guys maybe want to try and always get back to Renshi Alley, give them some feedback on the future calls, see how it works. You know, it's good to know because I found through different areas or all over the country, certain things work well, certain things don't work, some things work extremely well. So it's good for us to know and get that feedback. Another thing he wants to do is contact the teams, the coaches of like soccer and things that are kind of going on their off season now, and talk to the coaches, see if they're willing to refer any of their students to us, and in turn for them, we'll offer them some sponsorship for their teams. So again, it's another win-win situation. I mean, even if we get the kids for like a 3-month program, and maybe on their off seasons or whatever days they're off depending on their schedule, and also depending on the schedule of the school, depending on how many days you have available, maybe they could still work it in and go back to soccer but still continue with the martial arts. And I think it goes hand in hand. As far as the physical attributes the martial arts give, it tends to enhance whatever sports they do. Is there any questions so far? Getting back to referrals are one of the biggest ways to get students in, and it's probably the most low cost of all the avenues of bringing students into the school. As far as the back to school, like I said, we use the free pass, but we also ask the parents to, during our promotions, we have a letter of intent. And the letter of intent basically states the student is living up to the expectations that the parents, you know, want them to at home, behaving, listening, things like that. but also part of the letter of intent goes to the school grades. If they're working to their potential, having good grades, not fooling around, doing their homework, the teacher actually has to sign the okay on the letter of intent. So now another portion on that, on the letter of intent, asks the teacher if they would like us to come in and do maybe a conference with the class, maybe do a special person day. So that's an avenue for us to get into the schools and talk to other students. You know, on top of what we share, I feel it's very beneficial to the kids. We talk about respect and courtesy, being good to each other, all those things. But at the same time, it's an avenue to bring them into the school and really teach them, you know, all that we do. Has anybody done, has any, have any success with schools?
Yeah, we've done a lot of marketing in the school. We've got a deal with the school district where our school is located, and once a quarter, we'll do flyers in their take-home packages,
mm-hmm.
and we get, every time we do one of those campaigns, we get about 15 new students.
Well, that's wonderful.
And we retain probably 13 out of the 15. And we've been able to expand as we've been proving ourselves. They've been allowing us to go into more of their schools. And so this next promotion that we're doing, actually we're doing the Imagine Your Child ad from APS. We're going to be doing that. And we're going to be able to go to 6,000 students. In the past, we've only been able to send flyers to 2,000. So if we keep the same percentages, we should have a tremendous response from that.
Exactly. That's
so that's really been our best form of advertising as a school. We've tried Valpak. We've tried newspaper ads. The school ads have worked best for us. Also going to you know, festivals and having booths and breaking boards and stuff like that, and just, you know, one-on-one type interaction has helped too. It's
mm-hmm.
been really the most effective.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. One incident or one situation that happened about a day or two ago, there were two kids that came in for one of our two-for-one specials. But the mom I'd known for a few years, she works at one of the programs they do, I think it's Just for Kids organization. It's a local organization. They do different projects to help kids out in school. But I've spoken to her. We did actually a fundraiser with that organization a few years ago. The mother, again, she's known me. One of our students is a teacher in the school that her kids go to, so that's another avenue that she's heard about us. And she also did a program in the school. And on top of that, she came in with a flyer that one of my students went out this weekend. We had a street fair in town. She went out and did flyers. So it was actually like three or four different avenues until this parent actually decided to bring their kids in. But I guess our main goal is to make our name the number one name when people think of martial arts. In whatever town you're in, you want your school to be the name that people name. You know, they hear martial arts, they hear karate. Oh, that's the school that, you know, I know about. That's where I'm going to go. So it's a lot of avenues that you need to get your name out there, whether, you know, through advertisement, through walking, you know, just handing out flyers, doing a lot of footwork. We also do door hangers, and just to publicize our name and publicize our school so people think of us whenever they do decide to come. Because this parent, again, I've known her for about 4 or 5 years, and now is the time where she's bringing her kids to us. So maybe she wasn't ready, but when the time came, she chose our school. One more I want to touch on the school is when we do our conferences in school or our special person day, we have these special certificates where we give to the teacher. So the teacher's in charge of them, and when a student is doing really good in school, when they do maybe a special assignment, or we use a word of the week, like is it respect or courtesy, something like that, then that's when the child will win that free prize, and the teacher themselves will be giving it out.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Frank. I just noticed a lot of background noise, and I just want to let you know if you guys do happen to hear that I've muted you, it is because we're all hearing the background noise. I will unmute again after we have the opportunity to answer some questions or ask some questions.
All right.
So, sorry about that, Frank. Continue.
That's quite all right. Well, to now, does anybody have any questions as far as what I covered so far?
I have a question for the group. I know that Renciali and I had spoken a lot about the activities that you guys do with local schools. And I just wanted to...
Did you ask them if they have any plywood to come
hold
in?
Hold on one
or?
Second. I'm noticing a conversation
sure.
going on in the background there. I'm going to mute that real fast.
All right.
And I've noticed a lot of people that I've spoken to have had some problems getting involved with their local schools, and I feel that there's going to be resistance. Is there anything that you guys do to kind of have done to break that barrier? Anybody out there that has experienced any of that resistance and what they've done to kind of break past that barrier or that challenge?
We've been doing, like, we have a demo team that goes out to schools, and sometimes we'll do, like, a demo in their auditorium. They have, like, a weekend thing on, like, Saturday. And pretty much what we do is just a demo there that goes in on a few schools, but we still get that resistance even though we do that. So it's been kind of difficult, like getting flyers in there or packets or anything like that.
Now, I noticed a lot of the resistance that I've heard about from other school owners was basically because they were, I'm not sure, Frank, if you would agree or disagree with this, but a lot of times I hear that it stems from the fact that they're approached almost in a sales manner. Again, if you guys are muted, it is because there's disruption in the background. So if you are muted, again, I'll go ahead and unmute, or you can unmute yourself when questions are asked. But as I was saying, what do you think about that, Frank? I mean, did you guys get any resistance? Did you approach them a certain way that made it easier to involve yourself in the local schools, or?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. One of the things I did find, as far as schools, sometimes they're hesitant to let martial arts teachers in because they, in their mind, they're resistant to the fact that martial arts, in their minds, is like violence, kicking and punching. So they don't want the kids to learn kicking and punching in the school system. Another resistance they have, as far as, because we're a business, you know, we're kind of going in there just to get students. But I found there was one school I happened to get into, and it took me a couple of years. And actually, my fiance works in a school system, and one of the gym teachers I've spoken to constantly, and I talked to him about what we do, where we do presentations, and we do talks to the kids about, you know, one thing, conflict resolution, where we teach the kids a nonviolent system of dealing with bullying and things like that. So a constant talking to him and explaining what we do. I also had a layout. I printed out a layout of what I was going to cover. So I finally got into the gym class, and I started teaching the gym class there. I did about 2 days worth, and I must have seen about 600 kids between those 2 days, and I did like gym classes throughout the whole day. And the gym teachers were astonished about how the control I had over the kids and what I talked about, and it was almost completely different from what they expected. I didn't do too much physical, although we did a little bit, you know, exercise just to get them moving, but mostly I was just advising them on focus, on respect, on courtesy, on treating their parents with respect, by respecting other people's property. So the teachers are really happy about that. So now I have a door, you know, a foot into that school. So next year I'm going to be doing it again. There's another school I do, the gym classes here, a local school in East Islip, where for the past 3 years I've been teaching the gym classes. And the teacher is not allowed to hand any flyers from the school, but she does mention our school name in the newsletter. And whatever parents, she says, if they're interested, they can contact her, and then she would give them a pass. I've given her a bunch of free passes, 3 month passes. So that tends to help out. You know, once they see that our motives are pure and of good intent, you know, they're more likely to let us in, you know, more often.
Yeah, our problem down here in Broward County, Florida, is that in order to get into the schools at all, anything that you do in the school has got to be passed by the Broward County School Board first. So we can't really just go into any school. We have to actually approach the school board first and make sure it's okay with them. And they're a bunch of stiff-necked old people.
Mm. One thing I found also that I've heard and seen is the PTA. Sometimes through the PTA, you're able to, if you can get a hold of the president of the PTA and win her over, that's also a stronghold as far as you presenting yourself to the school board. So that might be one thing you might want to try.
I've done that before. I've actually.
Yeah, that's hard to do, though, sometimes, because the politics involved.
It depends a lot on the branch of the PTA. They can be very resistant, too.
Yeah.
like I said, it's all a matter of how you present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when we talk more about the benefits of the martial arts as opposed to just the physical portion of it, we talk about the respect, the courtesy, the focus, all those things, and presented in the right fashion, they, again, it depends. If you can get just one foothold in one of the schools, then you can use them as a reference. Like I said, I've had a few schools that I've done programs with. I also do another program, which is Career Days. And I've done that in about maybe 6 or 7 schools. I work with this organization. They do career days for all the youth and kids in the classes. I've done anywhere from elementary school to like junior high school.
No,
and what I do,
sometimes people think that martial arts is not a career. And so then you have guidance counselors say, well, that's not a real career, so we're not going to let you in.
You know, I think something really important.
How do you get past someone's prejudice that may be the gatekeeper, so to speak, and they just not going to let you in?
Well, you know, I think it's important, too, that everybody kind of think about it this way, too. I mean, I've heard a million different stories and a million different ways to get into the schools. Frank has brought up some excellent points and probably one of the best points about really some misconceptions about the martial arts. I actually just recently wrote an article on one of our clients who has a school in Pasadena, Maryland, who when he opened, you know, they were in a very small location, but he used something that was really personally affected him as a parent, took that to the school and got in, and that was self-defense and teaching kids how to avoid being abducted and things like that. I've heard a lot of people using it as, you know, as part of the gym classes. I've talked to people who've done it through the PTA. I've talked to people who have had a friend that's a parent in one of the schools and came in career, you know, as a career day. I think one of the things to do is, probably the best way to do it is to kind of sit down and analyze the schools around you and find out what their needs are by talking to the parents that have their children attending that school. You know, there could be a million doorways that you just don't know exist. And martial arts touches on so many different benefits that, you know, if you feel that self-defense is something that's lacking in the school, if there was recently an incident with a child having an issue with self-defense or abduction in your general area within 10 miles of your school or something along those lines, that, you know, using that and addressing that benefit of your martial art to that school and how it can help those situations can also be a doorway in.
That's great. I think that's a huge avenue to pursue as far as teaching the kids of stranger danger. We teach the kids stranger danger, and it's all about being aware of their surroundings, especially in school. I had some success as well in one of the school programs I did, and I covered stranger danger as far as to teaching the kids, making sure they stay in school, making sure if someone comes to pick them up. We teach a thing called password protection, and the kids need to develop a password between their parents and themselves, and I taught them keeping it a secret. And if somebody should happen to come pick them up, maybe a friend of their parents, something, a situation happened where their parent can't come to pick them up, the kids know the password. So if the person comes and says, you know, Mom, Dad, send me to pick you up, the kids will say, well, what's the password? And if they don't know, they say, hey, I'm not going with you. They say, you know, with their teacher. If they do know the password, they're safe to go with them. And I actually made like a small play inside the classroom, which the kids loved. And it was age range was about 9 or 10 years old, I believe. So I used the kids in the class. I picked a couple of volunteers, and I pretended to be the parent at first. And I told the kid, you know, I'll be back to pick you up later. And then I had another child come in pretending to be my, you know, somebody that supposedly they knew me, or it could even be a neighbor, you know, that's not really on the approved list. So they went to pick them up. They didn't know the password. The kid didn't go with them. Then another child came up. I told them the password. He came up, oh, Mom, Dad, send me to pick you up. And the kid said, well, what's the password? And they said the password. And they said, oh, okay. And they went with that person. And the kids really loved it. But in reality, that's something very important because it happens, you know. It's a danger. So parents' concern for that may be an avenue for you to go into the school. And again, not so much just to get students, but to really teach and keep our kids safe. I have a daughter. She's going to be 20 years old this year. But, I mean, I would do anything I could to make sure to give her some tools to keep her safe. So that's an avenue you guys could pursue.
Mine's going to be 22 this month. She can take care of herself.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's a black belt as well, so that gives me a little peace of mind.
My daughter and my wife are both black belts. I outrank them, but they outnumber me, so I still do the dishes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Does anybody have any questions about utilizing getting into the schools as a back to school as a way to kind of boost your enrollment during back to school time? Does anybody else have any questions about that?
I've seen a trend in the industry to cut out privatized businesses such as martial arts schools, and then to work in their own system of community-based non-for-profit organizations like YMCA and say for instance, the county thing that's run by the government, that kind of thing. They'll send those flyers out. They won't send out personal flyers home for other businesses. And some of that's got to do with some of the schools that participate in that flyer program have used the system, and then they get cut out of the system because of one bad apple. But I think it's a compilation of events that they're trying to, bring more money to the school system by taking maybe another Taekwondo instructor or martial arts instructor that's not as qualified, but selling to the parents is the same thing, and then cutting out the middleman, that kind of thing. So I don't know how to compete against that as well,
So that's actually the first I've heard of anything like that.
Yeah, I've seen a couple programs like that happen. That's happened a lot around this area.
Well, I think it comes down to how professional your business is,
mm-hmm.
because people will know a good deal when they see it. And if they're, even though it may be free or low cost,
mm-hmm.
the results are going to speak for themselves. And I think the key is to establish your school as the school. And again, that goes about, building your reputation among your community. It also, I think, is doing a lot of community work, volunteering your time in different schools, different independent schools and churches. That's another avenue you can do to establish your name and your reputation in the community.
I think that's a great point, Frank, and that's actually something that I think a lot of people, when you start a business, you want your business to be successful right away. Not that it's not, but you have these goals that might take a little bit longer to reach than you might expect. And I think one of the ways to really kind of lay the foundation to reach each and every one of your goals is to, like Frank said, dedicating your time voluntarily to your community so that people start to recognize you as the school. And, yeah, you might be, spending a lot of some of your extra time or your free time doing these things, but what that's going to in turn do is give you the recognition and give you that exposure that you need so that eventually you will be able to approach the right. And you might go into a church and do a community activity with the church, a self-defense day for kids or a self-defense day for women or something to do with physical fitness. And there might be someone there who might be able to benefit you and open that door for you into a local school or into some other avenues, some women's associations and things like that that can eventually turn out to be big money makers.
Exactly. Reggie Ali has always talked about, we go sometimes to the mall, and you have all your different stores. You have Macy's, you have Sears, then you have Lord & Taylor. And you can really go into Lord & Taylor or Macy's and maybe see the same item, but the Lord & Taylor is much more expensive, but also there is a difference in quality. So people don't mind paying a little bit more if the quality is there. We have to, like I said, we have to establish ourselves as the school.
People have to know you're there, and when the school system starts to shut privatized business out, like you said, what someone said about doing the school flyers and getting involved in school activities, and when those things get cut out, then you lose your recognition. And so the only thing they know is available is what they're feeding them, the propaganda or whatever you want to call it, they're feeding those kids. And they're selecting what those kids see and hear. Because they're in control. And so you have to be really good about forming relationships and bonds, and hopefully that your avenues don't be cut off, because there have been avenues I've had open to me in the past, and also the next year a new administration comes in and they cut you out. And you get back to square one trying to find a way in to be able to benefit the community. And we don't just sit there and try to just get to me. A lot of the schools do, but we don't. And we try to give back to the community, but, they kind of cut people out sometimes. And you have to kind of rework the system again, and hopefully that there may be another opportunity to get avenue to get in. But it seems like every year you're dealing with a new set of PTA, new administration, and a new set of rules. And each year it gets a little more difficult to use those avenues.
Well, another thing Renchi had mentioned, and it kind of falls into what we're talking about, setting the bar, basically getting the parents to back you. The parents of the students you do have, letting them know and having them involved and seeing the results of what you do, knowing that it's not just about kicking and punching, but about self-confidence, self-esteem, respect, and courtesy. When they see the results, they're going to talk about it, and that's an avenue you pursue. One of the things we do with referrals, like I said, with the parents that are coming in, we're constantly asking, like, you know, we keep in contact with them. We don't just let them drop their kid off and they disappear, and then we never even talk to them. We're constantly doing 2-, 4-, 6-week calls. We do 8-week calls, 10-week calls. So we're constantly talking to parents, seeing how they are, how they feel, any little thing that they may not like, things that they do like. And at that point, we'll say, well, if you're happy with what we're doing, do you think you refer any of your friends? And we ask for names. You know, sometimes you feel funny, but it's just a matter of getting into the practice and doing it. I mean, if you never ask, you're never going to get results. But when you start to ask, you'll find that some people may be resistant at first, but as you prove to them what you're doing for their child or what you're doing for them, they're going to tend to open up. But it takes time, and it, like I said, you have to put it into practice.
I got a suggestion. Can anybody, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
You're a little low, so you might want to try to shout a little.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better.
One of the things that we do is, which is kind of, we have a problem, we have a big problem getting into some of our local schools because the principal, it took me a year to find out, the principal just doesn't like martial arts. She thinks that kids are going to go kicking each other's butts in the parking lot. So, one of the ways we've gotten ourselves into the schools, so to speak, is whenever we do a community event, if we do, you know, we do bully buster seminars or what, you know, any type of free seminar or open house type thing that we're doing at our school, we take a flyer to our superintendent's office and they sign off on it and they let us hand that out at the school. So we bring a pre-sorted pile to the school system and now they have to put it in every kid goes home with it basically. And that's a great avenue that we have. It's up here in Connecticut. I don't know, you know, everybody's different, but, you know, that's something they will do at the superintendent level. So they'll override the principal. So if you can't get anywhere with the principals, or the, you know, good suggestion is to go to the superintendent.
That's a great idea.
Anybody have any other comments? I kind of want to start talking about, I know a lot of people have been asking me over the past couple of weeks about back-to-school marketing, strictly advertising, and also any other hand-ups that you guys are doing, and specific materials that you're using. I know you guys do a great job of that there at Long Island and Jitsu. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing for your advertising and marketing right now, or and how long ago you started it?
Well, one of the things we do run is the back-to-school ad with the 2-for-1 special and the buy 3 months, get one free. Another thing we're doing, we actually had backpacks made and pencils, erasers with the school logo on it. So, I mean, a kid is opening up his notebook or his backpack, kids are seeing our name. So that's almost like free advertising. Right there, you know, kind of build, the kids are billboards for our school. One of the things we do when we go into the school and do special person day, we can bring our pencils and give them out to each student. So they're going to be constantly using it. The parents are going to see it like, oh, what's this? They're going to see the name. So it's all a matter about people seeing our names, getting aware of who we are, where we are, what we do. And that's going to make the parents curious. Well, where'd you get this pencil? And then they can say, well, somebody came into school and they talked about this, this, and that. And that might pique, kind of spark the parents' interest, and they might give us a call. So anybody done any of that? Any of the book bags, the erasers, the book covers, notebooks, things like that?
Idea.
Yeah, and you guys all do that through Touch of Zen. Does that all come through Touch of Zen, Frank?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody doing any type of? I think that's an excellent idea. When Allie was talking
I haven't done it yet, but I think it's a good idea.
It's fantastic. I mean, pencils are extremely expensive.
Do you just give the backpacks away, or do you sell them?
No, the backpacks are sold, and they're expensive. They're about maybe $15.99. We sell them for, and it's a good quality backpack. We also have these little cooler bags, like they're insulated bags where the kids can bring their lunch to school.
Backpack.
And we just silk screen the school name on them. And we also catered some of. We have our Mighty Ninja program, our Little Ninja program. So we put those on that. So the little kids are going to be happy to wear it. And again, we're getting our name put out there.
Could you let us know where you're purchasing some of these items as far as if it's a nationwide supplier?
Shameless plug?
Let me do a shameless plug, Frank, to Touch of Zen. Actually, it's Ali's company. He does, he owns Touch of Zen, and they have some beautiful items, not only just screen printed items, but they also do a lot of other stuff that even markets to adults as well. So
we do have wholesale accounts as well.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
What are you talking about?
A Touch of Zen. That's the name of the company. And a Touch of Zen.com, correct?
Yes.
You know, I know Sentry also does that as well. I don't know if that's a dirty word here, but
it's always better to find a local company for that, man. Sentry.
A lot of areas, especially in bigger areas, have local companies that frequently can match the prices of the bigger areas. We're surrounded by little places that'll do pens and pencils and things, and they're hungry for the business.
Yeah, you can usually get the local guys to do that kind of stuff. Sentry.
Yeah, I haven't found anybody locally that would do some of those things that you're talking about for the same price. Like, I know National Pen Corporation does very good on that.
Sometimes you've got to look carefully, because what happens is, like, a lot of, like, stay-at-home moms will sell these things, you know, as a mm-hmm. side business. Mm-hmm. So if you look around carefully, you can find a lot of local people. Usually if you go to, like, a printer, the place that does, you know, business cards, they'll tell you, you know, where you can probably go to get that done. Or silk screen places. They usually have you know, networking mm-hmm. contacts.
There's a lot of avenues to look through, and even on the internet. We're fortunate because through the store that we have, there's a lot of connections. And like I said, they do wholesale accounts, and it's worth it. I mean, it's worth a try. And anybody's always welcome to shop around, but that is one avenue you can look for.
I have we've done promotions like that before, and the only recommendation I can make just from experience is, you know, think it through before you go and buy that stuff, because the last thing you want is a big pile of unsellable stuff. And, you know, the ideas always sound great when you first do them, but, you know, sometimes when you get them in, they just don't sell, and then you got garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know what, too, though, a lot of times, and this is something that I try and impress on people when I talk to them all the time, any business to be successful needs to have a million different avenues of marketing and need to invest money into dealing. I think, especially with back to school, I was just talking to somebody else who was doing pencils after I heard that you guys were doing it, and the email that I had sent out about the backpacks and pencils that Ali had written for me actually brought up the conversation. He was giving them away as a back to school kit for everybody who signed up through his back to school special. And what that was doing is he was giving them, you know, extra pencils. So when somebody needed a pencil, hey, do you have a pencil? And they're in school, they're getting one of the pencils that said his school name on it. So, you know, even though he was giving it away and he was investing money that he was just going to be kind of putting out there on the street, it was a really great exposure for him. I think he saw his back to school sign-ups within 1 week double or triple with that offer. So I think that's important to keep in mind as well.
Exactly. Another item that we also do is a buddy date, and especially now that school's coming back, the kids are going back to school. They're excited because of the summer. They're hopefully happy to get back to school. But now they're seeing new friends, they're making new friends, so that's a whole avenue for them to pursue it as far as getting their friends into something that they're doing. So we sponsor a buddy day where they'll bring in a friend for that day to kind of help them
when
out.
When you do buddy day, I mean, what kind of things do you advertise, and how do you organize that?
Well, we do like a flyer announcing the buddy day. We say bring a friend to class. We could either give them maybe a prize. For example, we could do a pencil if they bring a friend in. We let them know that they kind of feel important when they bring their friend into class, because they're sharing something that they're happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten as much as in one class maybe 10 or 15 kids bringing in their friends. And sometimes it may get hectic and crowded in the class, but we cater to class. We'll do different things. We'll show the kids, their friends, what we do in class. We'll make it fun and exciting. We do fun, you know, kind of disguising repetition. What we say is we're doing techniques and things like that, but we're presenting it in a fun way. So they're totally excited. And what you do offer is when they do come in, we make them a free month pass to try out for a month. Something like that. It's just something to give them something to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing a buddy day here. We're actually doing a buddy week. We put it right on our calendar. We usually do a annual testing in September to motivate kids to come in the summer. and then we work in that a buddy week where it's after the testing, after the kids have worked on their training, you know, their normal material, let them come have fun for the week and just, you know, promote a big buddy contest. We're going to give away like a Wave Master or something to the most buddy referral points. We give them points based on how many they bring in, and if they sign up, we give them more points, and that's been pretty good for us.
That's a great idea, just to kind of reward, like, the top student who brings in the most kids. So that's going to, like, the other kids are going to see that, and they're like, wow, you know, maybe next time I'll shoot for that.
Yeah. We've given away different things in the past. The only thing that I usually see...
Is somebody else talking? Game room or TV, you know that.
Somebody else talking?
Yeah, I hear somebody.
Yeah, again, if you're muted, it's because we're hearing background noise. So just want to repeat that because I notice people unmuting themselves.
I got you. I was saying the only problem I've seen in this, and we've been doing Buddy Days for a while now, and this goes with a lot of school owners that I know. If you don't have a big location, I mean, we don't have a small location, but we don't have a big one. You know, we're not one of these 5,000 square foot places that are around. Parents don't want to bring friends in because they don't want the place to be crowded. Kids don't care, so you got to really promote it to the kids and hit the kids with this over and over again. If you talk to the parents don't want to bring anybody because they think it's overcrowded to begin with.
Exactly.
Are you asking for phone numbers, Mike, and directly calling that person, or?
Oh yeah, we've asked for referrals for a while now, and we get, you know, a lot of people up here, they just aren't very receptive to it. We get very few people who are willing to pass us on referrals. Some of them look at us like, you know, wait a minute, this is, you know, you're a telemarketer or what are you? You know, we've gotten some funny looks.
But you do, have you guys had some success though with calling those referrals directly and saying hi, you know, your son, best friend Jimmy, said to call. He wanted me to invite you guys to come to a class.
Not really. The whole thing, you know, we get very few and far between do we get people. Most of the time what people tell us is, I think maybe I've gotten a handful of phone numbers over the couple months that we've been actually doing that. And most of the time what they say is we'll give this brochure to them or we'll talk to them. Or, you know, they don't like giving out people's numbers. I mean, I know I don't. I always, unless it's a business contact, if it's a personal contact, I never give out friends' numbers because I don't like when people do that to me. So,
right.
You know, I completely understand people look at me funny.
Sometimes it's worth the attempt, though.
I mean, if you know, everybody's right. If you don't ask, you won't get it. But, you know, there comes a point where I worry also that people are going to think, you know, is this guy teaching martial arts or is he here to just weed, you know, pull people in and make money.
Right.
You know, so it's a fine line.
And I think you made a good point. It's something you have to keep doing. And Frank had actually made a very good point, too, when he said, and a lot of people don't consider this, you have to work at it because the first time anybody asks for a referral when you own your school or even if you're not comfortable saying, you just have to keep doing it. It'll become like second nature.
I think the most important thing is explaining to people why you're doing it because
right.
If they think you're just, you know, you're just some pyramid thing where you just want to get in touch with as many people as possible, they tend to shy away. But we, you know, it's very important to explain to them, look, we want to get as many people in here as possible because, you know, we're trying to do this and give this to the community. Whatever your sales pitch is, you know, you got to explain it to them. Otherwise, they'll just think you're some shyster.
Exactly. You actually almost have to believe it yourself. You have to believe in what you do and what you're selling, basically.
Oh, absolutely. People see right through that if you don't.
I found that referrals, again, we do a lot of referrals. And basically on all our calls that we, our 2-4-6-week calls and 8-10-week calls, we're asking for referrals. And we find that in the first maybe one or two calls, the people are a little more resistant to us. But as we continue and they start to be a little bit more confident in us, then it becomes easier. And also, as we do it more often, we tend to sound more natural. When you're nervous and you're kind of holding back because you're in your mind you're thinking, well, they're not going to like this, it tends to go through and it doesn't allow you to be natural, and people can sense that.
Sure.
But when you're talking about it and you become used to it, it becomes so natural that people tend to feel good about it. And it does. It gets easier in time.
Yep.
One more thing I want to touch is we have VIP passes. Basically a business size card It says VIP guest pass. This is good for one free week of lessons at any of our studios. So we actually give them to the kids. And we say, you know, give these out to your friends. If, you know, if you want somebody to come in to share, you know, you like what you do, you can give that to your friends. And we do have referral contests where if they bring one of their friends, they can win, like, a free T-shirt. And the second one is, I think, a gi bag or a $25 gift certificate. Our grand prize, if they get five people to join for a whole year, they can win up to a year free. Then that tends to sell their parents a lot. You know, they're like, wow, I can do that. We've had parents with multiple children in the school, and they just go all out. We've had about maybe four or five parents within this year to win a free year.
That's a big prize, though. That's, you know.
Well, you think about it. If you're getting five people to join for a year program, what's 1 year? Even if it's $1,000 for a year's tuition.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Well,
you know,
you're getting five
prize.
For that one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you trade $5,000 for
$1,000? Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's just, yeah.
I mean, the math is there. It's worth it. I mean, and really,
I can see where it would be good because you get the parents on your side. But yeah. I try and stay away from cash prizes. I try and do, like, you know, things that are a little bit lower, I guess. I hear what you're saying, though.
And again, the prizes is really irrelevant. You could choose whatever you want to do because whatever you put on there as a prize, that's gonna be your thing, and people are gonna be happy with it. You know, but the idea of giving something back as a reward, I always tell the parents when we first do a sign up, we give them a welcome package, and within that welcome package is a bunch of flyers, or birthday flyers, things like that. And a welcome letter, but it also has a free five passes put in there. And when I take them out, I talk to them. I said, most people refer us anyway, but we want to show our gratitude and show that we appreciate it by giving something back to you. And, again, presented in that fashion, they tend to smile, and they're happy about that. You know, people always want to get something back, even if it's, I mean, even with the cereal. You get a cereal, and you get a little prize in the cereal. You get a little smile on your face, like, wow, I got something. No big deal. It probably costs pennies, but when people get something back, it tends to leave a good feeling, and that's what you want. You want people to walk out of your school with a good feeling every time they leave, something happy that kind of impressed them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any comments or questions on what we covered so far?
Anybody have anything that they're doing that they're concerned about that they might want to share or ask for an opinion on? There's silence. Okay. What were we going to talk about next, Frank?
Well, one thing, just to comment on questions, I found that...
Does anybody do movie nights or anything like that? How does that work in the buddy system?
Oh, God, the parents love those, man.
Movie night
and when do, and what do you, how do you do those? What do you usually do? What's the... Because that's a good way to get kids involved.
Oh, yeah. We put that, you know, we put it on our schedule. We release a monthly schedule, and we do it. We put it out, and we just start selling it for you know, a good couple weeks. But that's one of those things that parents love to get a free night out.
Okay, so it's usually on a Friday night?
Yeah, we do it on a Friday or Saturday night, and we get the kids in. We feed them pizza. You know, we do games with them, and, you know, kind of like a birthday party type thing, but for the kids. And we invite them
and
to bring buddies.
How much do you usually charge for admission?
We've charged, like, I think we charged $20 last time, but, you know, if you do it and you keep the parent, if you keep the kids from, like, 5 o'clock until about 9 o'clock, you can probably charge them about $1,000. I mean, the parents love it. I know the parents keep asking me. parents keep asking me when we're going to do another one.
Well,
if you do it on a Friday night, though, I mean, you'd have to do it after classes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to, you
so
know.
Be like 8 to 11 or something.
We turned it into, Friday night's a pretty light night for us anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when we have our adult self-defense and sparring mm-hmm. class, which, mm-hmm. you know, five people come to anyway, so we just canceled it.
That's what we do. We cancel our Friday night class, and we label it as a parents' night out.
Exactly,
that's
what we sold it as.
Yeah, and we found between 25 and 35.
We do our sleepovers on Saturday nights. We label them as a parents' night out, and the only real problem we have with that is getting to pick their kids up by 8 o'clock the following morning, so I go to bed.
Now, a sleepover,
how do you
usually run it? I mean, obviously you need...
Sleepovers run... The trick about a sleepover, they run really nicely. We have them bring in kids at 7 o'clock. We run dodgeball games and other games and little Olympic things. I usually have the school pretty packed up. I'll get anywhere from 40 to 70 kids for a sleepover at $20 to $25 a kid. That's a good night. Then I order pizza. We've got a special deal with the Papa John's over here. We get in however... I figure two slices of pizza per kid and have them cut in pieces for 12 slices instead of 8. So we get those in. Then as soon as the pizza's done and the cleanup time is over, we plug in movies, and I crank the air conditioner down really low so they all want to get into their sleeping bags.
That's a great idea.
Still means I'm awake all night, but because there's always going to be one or two kids that will always be awake. But by 8 o'clock in the morning, they're all down. The parents come and get them. You do a cleanup, you go home.
One great thing to do, and getting back to the subject of back to school, you can do a back to school parents night out special, and you could tie it into a buddy night. They could bring a friend with them as well, and we do that a lot on our parents night out. They're welcome to bring a friend. It doesn't have to be a student of the school. So kids are coming in, and we've got a handful of students stay. You know, their friends they wanted to join after that. So that's another avenue you guys can pursue. Like I said before, everything we've spoken about will work somewhere. It may not work somewhere, but give us your feedback and always share what you guys found that's working, what's not working, because something that's not working for you may work successfully for someone else, and then they can give you tips on what they did, and maybe
right.
That can help you so it will be successful in your school.
Yeah, if you have a junior leadership team, like we have a junior leadership team here, those are great. That's built in buddy night, movie night, sleepovers. I mean, that's tremendous. You basically have them just come in and basically run it for you.
Right.
Something we do here too is a great. You know, if you want to give up your New Year's Eve, man, parents will pay through the nose to
leave
their kids with you for New Year's Eve. We've done that before, and it's you can charge $50, $100 a kid. I mean, you can pretty much charge what you want, but you obviously got to give up your New Year's Eve.
Mold.
What better way to spend it?
Yeah.
That is a thought. We've actually heard something like that as well, and we've heard a lot of people have some great success. And as far as even like business wise, like you said, you can charge $50 to $75, $100 for that night. I mean, for a babysitter, parents are pretty much paying out the nose now. I mean, there's a few babysitters that work for less than $10 an hour.
Yeah. Well, if you also think about it, you know, babysitters are usually younger and they can't keep the kids until, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Parents want to get a night, especially on New Year's Eve, you know, the parents want to go out. They want to be out till midnight.
Exactly.
You know, it's not easy to find a babysitter. So the parents know for $50 a kid is nothing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know, they're going out and spending a couple hundred anyway on whatever they're doing.
True.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? You know, we're actually getting close to wrap up here. And this is a really lucrative time of year, and I know people probably have questions. I want to make sure that you guys feel comfortable to ask them.
Well, one thing I'll comment on is, again, we can talk about all these things, but the thing is to do them. A lot of people, you know, they see these programs, they see, oh, I'm going to try this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are either reluctant to do them because they don't feel confident, they don't have the experience, they've never done them before. But the only way to make it successful is to do it and do it and do it.
True.
So you definitely have to write these types of things into your goals. I actually have a quick question, and it's just in relation to pretty much overall any type of activities that you guys are doing. How many of you write this type of stuff into your goals? Anybody have a goal sheet that they follow?
Well, I have a set of personal goals and business goals. So every year we actually... Everybody, all our staff under Renciali, we need to do a mission statement, we need to do our goal setting, and we discuss them, and we plan, and we shoot for them, and we kind of help each other reach those goals.
Do you think that, in all honesty, that has made a huge impact on the way that you go about accomplishing things?
Absolutely. When you just as far as just goal setting in general, when your goals are written down, there's more of a likelihood of accomplishing them. Because we can say, well, I plan to do this, but unless it's written down and it's in our face, and most of my personal goals I wrote down on an index card, and I fold it over and I keep it with my money clip. So anytime I'm taking my money clip out, I see it right there. And this is something I learned from Reggie Alley. And so it's in my face. A lot of times you can put it on your computer monitor, you can put it on your mirror at home, but if you're seeing your goals, it's constantly reminding you to do it. And it's going to help you reach your goals. It's going to help you not fall short or skip a day or maybe skip a week and then kind of, well, you know, I'll have to get back to it.
Right. I think everybody should take at least one idea that they've learned, such as, like, for example, if you were impressed with the idea of the pencil or the backpacks and those types of marketing materials. If you've never had a movie night before and it's something that you're interested in doing, or if you've never had a parents' night out, write it down. Put it in your goals. Make sure that you
get what I did. I bought a 27-inch TV. I figured that'd be big enough for a movie night.
I would assume so, and I hope you do something with it.
What's that? Well, we use it for the after-school pickup program.
Yeah.
The kids watch it as a movie theater.
So that's perfect. That should be nice for a movie night.
You'll be surprised if you just say to yourself, okay, a month from now on, you know, a date in September, you take a Friday or Saturday night and you say, I'm going to have a movie night that night.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to start this week advertising and talking to people about it. You will probably see a huge return on it, probably within the first week of even announcing it. So, you know, something that it's definitely a really, really easy return on your
investment. What do you just advertise through your student base or...
Yeah, I think he's buying any of a poster, sending a flyer home, announcing it during class, you know, and again, it's the same thing with referrals, asking for people to sign up, going up to your students and saying, hey, are you guys coming to the movie night? Those types of things, and you'll get a really great return on it.
Another great thing to do is have a monthly calendar where you hand out to the parents, so they're seeing it right there. Have a monthly calendar on the wall, have a flyer right where people are walking through, and also announce it in every class, kind of pump it up.
That's a nice thought. We have a big big dry erase marker calendar that I do. I was a cartoonist as well as a martial artist. I do up a big, beautiful calendar. Everybody loves it. Then we print one up and put them out there. Everybody gets them handed out, and they all still ignore them.
Movie nights are something that the kids tend to like, so those are the ones that make it home the easiest, we've found.
Yeah. Okay. We have a board breaking. We do a board breaking night once a month. And it's on the calendar every month. It's always the same approximate time of the month. And people will still walk in no matter what. Who've been here for years. Like, oh, it's board breaking night? Yeah.
Just got to keep putting it in their face and reminding them different ways. You know, handing out. I go on the parking lot and hand things out. You know, you just got to keep. You got to keep at them until the day of the thing. It's
like I said, as far as advertisement, not one advertisement is going to get one person. It's going to be a bombardment of different things.
Exactly.
Through the newspaper, through footwork, through parents, through referrals, through people hearing your name here, people hearing your name there. Same with the events. We go through all the time. We'll talk to a blue in our faces, and there'll still be parents who didn't realize it was going on.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing you can do is do your best.
I think one of the best methods these days is making sure that you have everybody's email address and then just a quick group reminder every other day.
Exactly.
Don't forget about this.
We do the same thing. We do email. We do the monthly calendar. We have the calendar up on the wall. I announce it in every class. I announce it. I make sure I'm in the lobby as classes are dismissed. I basically stand at the door and shake everybody's hand as they leave, as they come in. I remind them of all the present events going on. So I think that's helped a lot.
Yeah, you just got to keep, like you said, bombarding them.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we just hit 3:00. I'm sure a lot of you guys have to start classes. Any last questions or comments before we wrap up?
Nope.
I just want to say I had a great time. I this is my first time talking, but again, these are things that I do and that we've been doing, and things that we're in the process of doing. So it's just a matter of sharing what we have. And I'm glad I had this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. It was great having you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. And again, if you have any suggestions for future consulting conference calls, future emails, anything, please, I beg you, send them to us, because we cannot do this without your help. So send them to consulting@atsfinancial.com.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
All right,
everybody
thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.